The following is a presentation of Remnant. Finish the work you have started in me as I'm on my way to you.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotsy.
We've talked a lot about praying and the need for praying and why we pray and all these things. And yet, I think today I just want to be really practical because I'm going to give you how to pray completely. If I had a chance to sit down with Governor Jerry Brown of California or President Obama, I would not just walk in and wing it. Hey, Prez, how you doing? Got a couple things I want to talk to you about. Let's see here. I had so many things. And yet a lot of times we go to God, the creator of the universe. And we go to God and say, hey, God, how you doing? Well, what's happening with you? It's like my mom calling. Hi, Jerry. It's your mom. Hi, Mom. How you doing? I'm doing good. What are you doing? I'm watching a movie. Okay. So, how you been? We covered this. You know, we get that idea. Say, we go to God and we have that same kind of, hey, how you doing, Padre? You know, kind of action. And God is patient. God is not like me. I'm not real patient. I'm really not. No, I'm really, really not patient. I mean, really, really not patient. My wife and I were talking yesterday about something. She had something in her iPod in her car, and it doesn't always start when the radio starts. And I said, well, that would bug me. She said, well, I notice it. I said, no, if you notice it, it bugs you. And she said, no, I just notice it. And I said, no, if I notice it, it bugs me. And I want to fix it. I want to do. And so she basically told me not to touch her car. And so I didn't. I didn't fix her stereo. So she can just notice it. And we got a chance to go before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And we don't always go completely. We forget things or we don't cover things we really want to cover. And so today, that's why I want to talk about a complete connection. How do you pray and make sure you hit all the high points? How do you pray and make sure that you get all of your things that you need to pray for taken care of? And that's what we're going to talk about. Okay, so let's pray. God, thanks. Father, and I believe so strongly you're going to do some great work in us today. Very practical message today, God, but one that I believe you want us to hear. Thanks, Father. We ask it in your name. Amen. I almost preached this message last time that I preached. That's one of the weird things about the rotation that we get is that, and we, you know, Jeremiah and I were laughing again because our staff meetings take place on Twitter, you know, direct messages back and forth, or, well, you know, I dropped off something at YFC this week and we talked for about 5 minutes. That's how this church gets run. It was just, and it's probably better that way because we don't get a chance to mess things up. But Jeremiah's going to preach, and then Frank's going to preach, and then I'm going to preach. So I have 2 weeks to make sure they're not going to take my message. I have 2 weeks to kind of sweat through and say, all right, what are they? Because we don't, you know, God forbid we should actually lay this out. We just say, we're going to talk about prayer. All right, go with it. And so, and I think that's kind of cool. One of the cool things about Remnant is you hear three different guys and what God is doing in them. And the way God says it through them. And so it's one of the cool things about it. But if you're the preacher, I got to sit for 2 weeks and hope these guys don't poach my stuff. So I know I wanted to talk about the Lord's Prayer, and yet I thought, man, that's easy pickings. One of these guys is going to grab it. So thankfully, they didn't. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. By the way, we did a whole series on the Lord's Prayer called On Earth as It Is in Heaven. You can look at most of the messages on the website. Some of them didn't record well. We were using a real wonky recorder, but we're going to blame it on the recorder. I think part of it was user error, but so some of the messages are on there. But we did a whole series on this, and we basically used this as an outline. And this is a little different. This is from the New Living Translation, but I like the way it says it. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. By the way, if you're like me and you grew up in the church, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. I don't know why we say hallowed. We don't say follow it. I don't know. Okay. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Some of the later manuscripts also add, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Not all translations put that in because it was only in a couple of manuscripts. It was a little later. If you want to add it, add it. I don't think we're going to go wrong telling God, oh, by the way, you're great, you're powerful, you're good stuff. I think we're okay there. The way this all came about, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. The disciples saw something in Jesus and they said, hey, Lord, will you teach us to pray? Now, you don't go to somebody who's not very good at something and ask them to pray. And ask them to teach you. Okay? You don't come to me and ask me to teach you how to play the guitar. Jeremiah or Victor would be a much better choice. I know how to do a D chord, and I'm not very good at it. You don't come to me and ask you to play the drums. Teach you to play the drums. Bob or Frank would be excellent at that. Me, not so much. When I first started singing in a band back in the Believers, way back in the day when I had hair and everything, I couldn't clap and sing at the same time. Rhythm is not my strong point. I'm a little better now, but if somebody's clapping on the wrong beat, it still throws me off. Now, I do have some strengths. If you want somebody to teach you how to order pizza online, I'm your guy. If you need somebody to teach you how to photograph a dead body at a crime scene, I'm there. I'm rocking and rolling and ready to go. I'm guessing there's not going to be a whole lot of call for that, though. They saw something in Jesus. And over again in the scriptures, you see that Jesus went away to pray. Now, let's just start here that if God, in the form of man, Jesus. Remember, we believe Jesus was fully God and fully man. Jesus did not leave the fact that he was God when he left heaven. If God's own son needed to pray, how do we think we're going to get by without it? Really? If Philip Rivers goes to practice every day. Calmate. Philip Rivers goes to practice every day. What makes me think that I could trot my big behind out there on Sunday and say, because we hear in the stands all the time, Rivers sucks. We need a, really? Really? Could you throw a 35-yard pass with some big 350-pound behemoth coming at you? I don't think so. Come on. So we've got this whole idea. We know everything, and we know how to do everything. And God's like, you know, guys, I'm here. I'm a resource that you can use. God has not been tried and found wanting. He has been found wanting to be tried. Now, we talk about the Lord's Prayer. Jesus basically said, hey, guys, when you pray, this is the way to pray. Now, don't get caught up in the terminology here, okay? And I think that's important because I don't think that Jesus told them, all right, you have to say these words in this order. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come, thy will be done. I think what Jesus taught them is here's how to make sure you get everything done. Because the very beginning of the Lord's Prayer starts out in a very personal way. Our Father in heaven. This is the first time in all of Scripture that God is called our Father. This is something brand spanking new. This is Jesus saying, hey guys, he's not just my Father, he's our Father. This is very personal. Because before this, when you read the Old Testament prayers, it's always the God of our fathers, the God of our father Abraham, the God of Jacob and Isaac. It's always the God of someone else, the God of Israel. No, no, this is my Father. This is our Father. Don't get this twisted. This is personal. This is us entering into a father-child relationship with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of creation. And if that doesn't make you excited, you need to check your pulse because something's missing. So I think Jesus is saying, hey, you guys asked, so here we go. When you pray, be sure and add these areas. Be sure you pray a balanced prayer. Because let's be honest, a lot of us are like teenagers when we pray. Lord, I really need a new car. Lord, I really hate my next door neighbor. Lord, I want you to turn him into a frog or something. Lord, I know. Yeah. And a lot of us pray. We really do. We pray pretty selfish prayers. Let's be honest. Lord, bless me. Bless this. Give me this. Do this. And there's a whole world out there that really needs us to pray for them as well. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 from the Message says, this is your Father you're dealing with. And he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply like this. I think we mess up prayer. I think we overcomplicate it. We have to have a prayer voice. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be it. That's where the word hallowed came from. Somebody's trying to be fancy. I used to have a youth pastor who had a prayer voice. You talk to him, he talked like this. Then we went to pray, Lord, my most omnipotent Father, yea. I don't know where the yea thing came from. Yea, that thou wouldst come. Who are you trying to impress? Are you really going to impress God with your words? You know, the God who created the universe just by saying, hey, let's make this happen. Really? That's like folding a paper airplane and going to the guys at NASA and saying, hey, check this out. Huh? Look at that thing fly. The guys from NASA are like, shut up. So what I want to give you is five areas of this prayer, six if you come back to praise, if you add the part that was later. Five ways to pray, five areas that you can pray. And let me tell you something. It doesn't have to happen all at once. Because I'll pray some of this prayer on the way to work. And I'll pray it when I'm on my own. Honest to goodness, I have prayed. This is my personal model. This is the way I pray most of the time. Because I'm pretty ADHD. Ooh, look, a squirrel. I kind of like that. And so it's really good for me to know that I get everything in the right way. So you can do this in chunks, okay? Let's start. The first section is praise. So let's look at it. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. go ahead and go to the next one. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Now, there are a lot of different ways to praise God. Some people can sing. I like to sing. When I'm in my praise mode, I like to sing. Songs we sing here, I've made up songs. I don't think they made any sense necessarily, but I've sung songs. My uncle, Bill Brewer, who used to pastor Faith Assembly, would make up songs all the time. And he's really not a good singer. He thought he was, but he's not a good singer. The important thing is just to take God, to tell God how much you love him. And here's why. Here's what I believe personally. The reason we start with praise is because we're taught if we're going to ask something from God, we've got to believe it. You can't doubt. In fact, look at James. James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So we start by praising God. We start by telling God of his might and his power. Your love never fails. You never give up. You never give up on me. It goes on and on and on. I mean, you start singing those songs and it builds up your faith. Because here's the thing. In a few moments, you're going to start asking God to undertake. You're going to start asking God to do something great and powerful and mighty. You want him to save your home. You want him to save your friends. You want him to change your life. Can you really tell God how great he is and then doubt that when you ask? I think that's why we start with praise. I really do. I think Jesus said, you know what? You got to prepare your heart for what's coming next. You got to believe this in your heart. So let's start praying and keeping God's name holy. Now, in the Old Testament, God is referred to by a bunch of different names. It's always Jehovah. But then they would add things, like titles almost. And so I want to give you a few that you can point out. And I'll tell you what, I'll post this on the website, the list on the website, because you're not going to catch it all at first bump, okay? The first one is Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means God our righteousness. Now, one of the definitions of Tsidkenu is a measurement. It's a measure, like a ruler. It's something you measure against. It's a scale. God's righteousness. God is who we measure our lives against. Now, I can look at your life and say, oh, I'm not as good a Christian as they are. Or I can look at your life and say, oh, I'm a better Christian than they are. What a loser. I'm way better than they are. But are you really who I'm supposed to be measured against? I'm supposed to be measured against God. Like the little kid who walked up to his mom, I'm 6 foot tall. He's this tall. She says, you're 6 foot tall. How do you know? He says, I measured myself. She said, what'd you use? He said, this ruler that I made. He made a lion and he said, 6 foot tall. We do that. We say, oh, hey, God, I'm doing okay. How you know? Here's where I am. Check it out. It says right there, I'm okay. And God says, no, that's not the scale. The measurement is God. Second thing is Jehovah Shalom, God's peace. For Christ himself, Ephesians 2:14, Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. God has made peace with us, allowed us to make peace with him. See, we can praise God that he's our peace. Jehovah Shema, God is there. Isaiah 41:10, I love this verse. Man, write this one down somewhere, guys. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Hey, feel like the world's against you? Bang. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. That's good stuff. Jehovah Rophi, God who heals. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Need a job? You need to start praising God that he's Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides for us. The God who makes us, who puts us in places where we don't want. Jehovah Nisi, God my banner. Now that's kind of a weird one. Because we think about God as a banner. But it goes back to in Exodus chapter 17, Israel is at war. And as long as Moses held his hands up, Israel would win the battle. But he couldn't keep his hands up forever. And so his arm started sinking. And as his arm sunk, Israel would start losing. And so Aaron and Hur would hold his hands up. And Israel prevailed. And so Moses built an altar. And he says, God is my banner. Jehovah Nissi, God is my banner. God is the one that when I lift him up, he prevails. Isn't that good stuff? Jehovah Rohi, God my shepherd. We see that in Psalm 23. And then John 10:14, I love this. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. And in fact, I put it differently there. I know my own sheep and they know me. And go, you really want to do a good study sometime? Go back and look in the Old Testament and look up all the scriptures that deal with shepherd and do some research and see what a shepherd had to do to take care of his sheep. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And I could tell it to you, but I'm not gonna. I think you got to work for something. But when Jesus called himself the good shepherd, it was a huge, huge statement. Because the shepherd was responsible for everything for the sheep. Good stuff. Second thing, get with God's program. I didn't know how to put it any other way than that. This next phase of prayer now, we've praised God. We've praised him using his name. And you don't have to do that. Look, whatever gets you in the mood to pray, just do it. You get where I'm coming with this? Now, though, we're going to start getting into the nitty-gritty. Get with God's program. Matthew 6:10, may your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's where we begin praying for ourselves and praying for others. First of all, pray that God's kingdom will come into your life. That his will be done in your life. When's the last time you prayed, God, let your will be done in me? Understand, that's a huge prayer. Because God's will may not be your will. God's will may include you going through some stuff you don't want to go through. God's will makes your life better. Your will messes it up. Your will got you where you are now. Say amen or ouch. Okay? We are like, oh, I figured this out on my own. No, you're not. You're not that good. And neither am I. And again, I wrote down what I pray. God, let me be consumed by your will, not mine. This is my heart. This is what I pray. God, guide my steps. I'll follow. Let your glory shine through me. I pray this just about every day. God, I want to be consumed by your will. Get mine out of here. And there are times when that's hard, that's difficult to pray because I know that God's will is different than mine. It's a prayer for yourself, but it's really a prayer for everybody that you connect with. If you're doing God's will, if you're really in God's will, don't you think you'll be a better husband? A better father, a better wife, a better mother? A better employee at work? Absolutely. Why? Because it's God's will that you be that. I can tell you right now, it is God's will that you're a good husband, gentlemen. Guarantee it. And you can try and convince yourself all kinds of other ways, but I can guarantee you it's God's will that you be a good husband and a good father. End of discussion. Don't try to convince me anything else. Well, no, I believe it's God's will for me to... No. No, what, to be a moron? No, it's not God's will for you to be a moron. It's God's will for you to be a better Christian. It's God's will for you to be the best employee at your business. I firmly believe if you're a Christian, you need to be the best employee at your place. Why? Because that's how you show people God. Now move on to your spouse. God, let your kingdom come and your will be done in my wife. Now, if you don't have a spouse yet, pray for the one you might get someday. I prayed for Lynette before I knew who she was. God, I believe you got a wife out there somewhere. Somewhere there's some poor young lady that you are preparing to be married to me. God, begin giving her a double portion of grace right now, because she's going to need it. Pray for your family. Pray for your kids. I have two kids that don't know the Lord. Grew up in church. Walked away. I pray for them every day. Breaks my heart. Pray for my grandkids. God bless Soren. My little buddy. I pray that you'll let a light shine in his life that he's not going to see anywhere else, God. Pray for your job. Pray for your boss. Really pray for your boss. Pray for your neighborhood. Pray for the schools and businesses you pass. I pass Southwest High School every day on my way to work. I just pray God to bless the people of that school. Bless the teachers, bless the administrators, bless the students, God, because they need it. I pray for this school, that God will do something great here. Pray for Remnant. Pray for the pastors. Pray for the worship team, the people who serve. Pray for the people of Remnant, the families, the kids. If you knew the families in Remnant right now that are hurting, it would break your heart and you couldn't miss a day praying for the families of Remnant. I will tell you right now, I can think of at least 5 families that are hurting. We've got to pray that God's kingdom will come, that God's will be done in that family, because it's not God's will for that family to break up. It's not. When Jesus said God hates divorce, he meant it. It is not God's will for your family to break up. It's God's will for you to slug it out, not literally. It's God's will for you to make it work. So suck it up, buttercup. Pray for our nation. Really pray for our nation. Pray for our state. Pray for the county leaders. Pray for my boss. Pray for Sheriff Loera. Pray for the city police chief. Pray for the cops on the beat. Do you realize how close cops, firemen, people like that are to death every day? Pray. Pray for correctional officers. Pray. Pray for a harvest of souls. Right now, outside this room, there are people that are dying and going to hell. Right now. Do you care? Oh, yes, Jerry, I don't want anybody to go to hell. Really? When's the last time you prayed for him? Let's be honest. We talk a good game. When's the last time we did anything? When's the last time, and I love this verse, it's later on, it's Matthew, I lost my version here. Verse 35, I think it's Matthew. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. It's John. Anyway, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Can you imagine all the wheat fields and all the hay and everything in the valley just all ready for harvest and nobody going to pick? What would happen to it? It would just spoil in the vines. There are people right now that need to know Jesus. What are we doing about it? So pray. Pray to the north. God, that I know that to the north of this church, there are people who need to know you. God, right now I know that there are people who live just north of here. And more than anything else, they need to know you. God, bless them. Bring them to you. We pray that you'll send your angels. The Bible talks about people being the heirs of salvation. Heirs, that means they're going to inherit it. God, I pray right now to the north that you would bring a harvest of souls. God, I pray to the south that you would send angels to minister to those people. To the west, to the east. God, do something incredible. And not just a remnant. I pray for Faith Assembly. I was on staff there for all those years. I love that church. I pray for the Baptist church in town. Look, if you're a Bible-believing church and you believe in Jesus Christ and Him crucified and you're preaching that, I'm going to pray that God blesses your church. Because you know what? Not everybody's going to come to Remnant. Not everybody's going to like us. We've had people come, look at Wednesday and say, oh, I'm not coming back there. The pastor was wearing shorts. They have that loud rock and roll music. Cool. We're okay with that. And you know what? And look, and there's some people that need a different kind of church. God bless them. God bless them. They need to go somewhere else. Maybe they need the liturgy. Maybe they need that structure. So they'll go to the Methodist church. God bless them. I'm not going to cast off on the way they do church. That's what God wants them to do church. All we know, all Jeremiah and Frank and I know, is what God wants us to do church. So God's going to bless some people that come to Remnant. They're going to come, people come here and it's going to click and they'll say, you know what? It's kind of weird, but I like it. Which probably should worry all of you about, you know, who you are. Late now. Like, nobody's going to be here next week. Jeremiah's going to like, Jerry, shut up. Stop telling people stuff like that. Pray that God will bless these other churches. Three, meet needs. Verse 11, give us today the food we need. Do you believe God's going to meet your needs? Yeah. Give us today. What about our spiritual needs? Do you really believe God's going to make you a better Christian? That God's going to grow in you? God wants to feed us there too. He wants to meet our daily needs. The problem is we often start worrying about tomorrow, the next day, or 10 years from now. And I like what Jesus said later on in Matthew 6. This is where I thought it was earlier. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He'll give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Oh, good. Today's trouble is enough for today. God's provision is enough for today. When Israel was leaving captivity, manna came, and they could gather enough manna for today to eat. And if they tried to get too much, it would spoil overnight. God has provision for you today. God has peace for you today. God has hope for you today. If you worry about tomorrow, you're spending today's worry, you're spending today's energy, today's hope, today's grace on tomorrow. And if you spend it worrying about yesterday, you're burning it all up, worrying about something you can't change anyway. Tomorrow may not happen. Yesterday is over. Let's worry about today. Amen? Quit stressing over stuff you can't control anyway. Just go to God and let God do something great. Now, here's the thing. We pray that God will meet our needs, but we don't always do our part. I'm praying that God will give me a job. Really? Where have you applied? Well, nowhere yet, but I'm praying God will give me a job. Like God is just going to speak to some guy.
I want you to give Jerry Godsey a job.
Not sure it's going to work that way. I might have to go fill out an application. You ever have a car without power steering? And you try to park it. And you got like kids helping you. We used to have this old bus at Faith Assembly, and it was brutal to try. It had this huge wheel on it, and to try and move it, if it wasn't moving, it was brutal. Well, once you got that bus going, though, it was easy to steer. It's a lot easier for God to move a steering car than a moving car than a parked car. And if you're just going to park, well, I want God to do His will in my life. Really? I want God to meet my needs. Really? What are you doing about it? Well, nothing yet, but I'm going to, you know, one of these days, I'm going to get off the couch. Hey, Sparky, get off the couch now. You want God to meet your needs? Get off the couch. And I mean that in your marriage. I mean that in your home. I mean that in every aspect of your life. You want God to meet your needs? Then you start doing something about it. God, I want to be a better husband. Really? Cool. Tell your wife you love her. Well, I'm not going to go that far yet. God forbid that should happen. Yeah. Hope you got a comfortable couch. Let's look at number 4. Forgive. Matthew 6:12, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. How does God forgive us? Look at John, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Go to the website. I've preached on forgiveness a couple of times here. Go to the website, download the message on forgiveness, and listen to it. There's so much there. We can't even. But here's the thing. In fact, look at the next verse, Matthew 6:14-15. Just right after the Lord's Prayer, it says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Bottom line, I got to forgive you because I need forgiveness. Now, is that always easy? Nope. Sometimes hurts are deep. And sometimes forgiveness is a process. And if you're not willing to forgive, start by praying, God, make me willing to be willing. Again, it's about getting off the couch, isn't it? Isn't it? But God, but you don't know how badly they hurt me. No, I don't. No, I don't know how badly they hurt you. But I know how big God is. I know how powerful and how loving God is. And I know how deep God's forgiveness is. And folks, you can't afford not to forgive. You just can't. This is the last part. Armor up. Look at verse 13. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. God has called us not to sin. We are not supposed to sin. We get real comfortable with sin. Like my cousin, and I've told you this story again. I don't have any new stories. I just have to keep telling you the old ones. If I had any new ones, I wouldn't remember them because I'm old. We were at the liquor store. My cousin Mitch decided to steal something. He went to a candy bar, and we didn't have any money for candy bars. And so I said, Mitch, you can't steal. It's a sin. He said, no. We'll steal it, and we'll eat the candy bar, then we'll ask God to forgive us. And, you know, something about that didn't quite ring right. I'm not sure that's going to work. Well, I'm going to do it. And he ate the candy bar, and he gave me a little piece, so I probably am probably on the hook. Make no mistake about it, though. God made provision for us if we sin. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, we're told, that Jesus undertakes for us because we're sinners. He also forbid us to sin. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or abusive or cheap people, none of those will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you are cleansed. You are made holy. You are made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. This kind of list, by the way, appears two or three times in scriptures. These are the people who ain't going to make it. But it makes a distinction. You used to be like that, but you've accepted Christ. Now your life is different. Because let's be honest, most of us are in that group. Most of us are in that Ephesians group. Or that 1 Corinthians 6 group. We were messed up. So if God has called us to live sinlessly, and he told us not to sin, what's he doing? Because here's the thing. God will not call you to do something he won't give you the power to do. We've talked about forgiving. We've talked about doing God's will. All these things. And we're like, okay, well, God, you asked me to do it. Now what? God is not going to tell you to dig a shovel or to dig a trench and I'll give you a shovel or a tractor. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 through 18. Here it is. Here's how God has equipped us. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. What did God give us? He gave us armor. I like armor. I'm an armor kind of guy. I was a catcher in Little League. The only reason I wanted to be a catcher, because you get to wear the cool stuff. Then I find out there's a reason why you wear all the cool stuff, because they're going to hit the ball at you. And you're going to get hit by stuff. I broke all my fingers at least once in Little League. I had a real bad habit of reaching for the ball while the bat was still moving toward it. It's not a good contact point there. I got in a fight with a kid one time. He slid into home, and I had, you know, I had my shin guards on and stuff. And he, I don't know what he was thinking. He slid into me, and I blocked the plate and knocked him down. And he got up, and he kicked me in the shin guard. So I kicked him back. He doesn't have shin guards. He kicked me again. I kicked him again. I'm pretty sure he's getting the worst end of this deal. So I'm an armor kind of guy. So what did it give us? First of all, it gave us the belt of truth. That God's truth will be part of you, wrapped around your waist, covering your life. The belt of truth, God's truth, just the main part of it. The body armor of God's righteousness. I like that body armor. I was going to bring my bulletproof vest today from work. There's a reason why you wear it. It's because it keeps bullets from going through. That's the whole idea. Hence the name bulletproof vest. God's righteousness, God's right standing, God's power. That covers our body. Then we're told to put on God's peace like a pair of shoes. Put on the peace of God. God, everything may be going crazy around me, but God, I've got your peace. Just like a pair of tennis shoes. Hold up the shield of faith. You know, the shields in those days, it says to hold up the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. They used to shoot arrows that were on fire at people. Well, that's not good. Because not only did you get poked, but then you got burned. And that's a bad combo. I don't like being poked or burned. And I don't really want to be poked and burned. So they would hold up the shield, and the shields were covered with pitch. And as soon as the fiery dart hit it, it extinguished the flame. The devil's going to take shots at you all day. You got a shield. Hold it up. You got a shield. It's going to extinguish those fiery darts. He's got no power. The devil has no power over you except what you give him. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Last thing. And we're way behind. I'm sorry, guys. If you look, I'll just read it to you. Verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. I talked earlier about shepherds. One of the things that a shepherd would do when they got out to a hillside, he would take brambles and bushes and stuff, and he would build a hedge all around the sheep. And there would be one space in the middle so they could get in and out, and that's where the shepherds spent the night. It was not, there was not going to be a bear or a lion or anything to get through all that hedge without going through the shepherd first. And one of the terms of it is literally a hedge of protection. Pray a hedge of protection with God as the great shepherd to protect your family, to protect your life, protect your church, protect your people, to protect all those things we've been praying for. This ties it all together, doesn't it? And then I want you to do something else. Look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is a prayer that you can pray to God. I love praying scripture. If it's God's word, I may be doing okay to pray it back to him. Psalm 91. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. God, I'm going to make you my shelter. I want to find rest. I believe I'll find rest. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. Just pray back to him. God, you're my refuge. You're my safety. You're my God, and I'll trust you. Isn't that awesome? This is one of the most beautiful psalms. Verse 3, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Just tell him, God, your promises are my armor. Your promises are my protection. I don't have to do this myself. It's you, God. It's not me. Now who has to step up? God. And the great thing about it is, he will. He does. Verse 5, don't be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Don't dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. It's okay if you feel like you got to kick over a chair or something because you're happy. It's okay. You're all like, well, yes, Pastor, I believe that is a very great scripture. I will certainly take that under advisement. Friday night at the football game, you guys were going nuts, wetting your pants almost because you were so excited. And now you're just like, well, that's, yes, Pastor, I believe that's good stuff. Just open your eyes, see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. If you pray that every day, you will walk around and start kicking behind and taking names in the name of God. I don't know how you could pray this every day and not just be like ready to tear up stuff. I'm ready to like throw something right now. I'm so excited. Because I love the fact that this is God's promise. And when I pray this back to God, God, you're going to reward me with a long life and give me salvation. That God, when I call on you, you'll answer. That you'll be with me in trouble, that you will rescue and honor. Whoa! That is just good stuff. Guys, we've got to pray. It's not that God hasn't answered. He has. We just may not see his answer yet. Now remember, not all this can happen overnight. It took you a while to mess up your life. God may take a couple of days to fix it. Not only that, he may not fix it the way you think he's gonna. He may take a while. I was telling somebody what, you know. You ever seen the back of a tapestry? One of those real pretty woven rugs? You look at the back, it's crazy. There's no picture there. It's just a bunch of loose threads. And you look at it and you say, well, that's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. That's just dumb. Who would do that? Then you walk around the other side and you think, oh, man, that is beautiful. That is gorgeous. Let me tell you something. You look at your life, all you see are threads. When God looks at your life, he sees the tapestry. He sees the beauty that he's creating. All you see are the loose threads that he's trying to tie up. Don't be discouraged if what you're asking for doesn't happen overnight. That's where we trust. That's where we believe. That's where we keep praying, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. That's where we keep going before God, because God is going to do things God's way. Doesn't always line up with my way. But you know what? I've seen my way, and I don't like it. Let's pray.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.